watching Welcome to Heaven's Declare. I'm Jim Burr, and we're back on the air, this time talking about our awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. And so we're going to share more of the heavens from that perspective. And I'd like to share a scripture with you, Isaiah 40, 21 and 22. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He's the one that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. And I like Isaiah 40, 25 and 26. To whom will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal, says the Lord? When we see the heavens, you know, people often say, the earth is so small. You know, we show the large sun, and we show the earth where you could put a million earths in the sun, and people often come up afterwards and say, the earth is so small, why would God be interested in us? And as we've talked before on our program here, God is on trial here. In this little world, because the universe is watching to see the results of the rebellion of Satan, to see how bad it is. God's on trial here. And so, who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Man is certainly like dust, isn't he? The nations are like small dust on the scale, it tells us in the Bible. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. Yes, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, Moses said, let me see your glory. He said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. And so the Bible asks us to lift up our eyes and behold who hath created these that bringeth out their hosts by number. You know, every the sun comes out and the stars disappear, don't they? But then when the sun goes down, the heavenly hosts appear in the sky. And He calleth them all by names. We see the stars. We're going to see a bunch today, thousands and millions and billions and trillions. And how would you like to name the stars? That would be quite a job, wouldn't it, come up with a name. How would you like to create 7 billion people, 7 billion faces? You look at the people on earth, 7 billion people, and you know, they're all different, aren't they? They're all different. They're all special. And so, He calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. And in fact, Psalm 147 is it repeated again, where it says He calls them all by their names. And we have the first graphic coming up, actually shows you the farthest galaxy that we've ever seen. And they tell us that is about 13 billion light years away. That little arrow is pointing to that little red dot, which they say is about the farthest we've ever seen. And they think about 13 billion light years away. And as I see that, I think of what the Bible has to say. If we look at Isaiah 55, verse 9, it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We cannot compare with the infinite God, can we? And yet we're created in His image. And when I see that, I also think of what it says in Psalm 103, and starting with verse 10, actually. And it says that He has not dealt with us after our sin. In verse 10, He has not dealt with. Thankful for that God doesn't deal with us. I'm reading from King James, after our sin, no rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great His mercy is. Can you comprehend 13 billion years, 13 billion light years? We cannot comprehend that, can we? I'd like to show you a demonstration now. And what we have here is I have a ball which is going to represent Jupiter. My hand will represent the sun. And we got gravity, you know, where all the planets are held by gravity, tied to the sun. When the sun moves, they move. And actually, when Jupiter actually spins around the sun, it actually moves the sun off center. You wouldn't believe how far it moves off center. Now, you see my hand wobbling. Actually, Jupiter causes the sun to move 500,000 miles off center when Jupiter goes around the sun. And when Jupiter and Saturn are ganging up on the sun, if they're both on the same side of the sun, I mean, it's going to move almost 1,000,000 miles off center. When Jupiter and Saturn are on opposite sides, it comes right back, practically back to center. And so we're going to have an illustration that will show you how far our sun moves as Jupiter and Saturn are rotating. And there it is. You see how our sun is actually wobbling in space up to almost 1,000,000 miles off center. And so now we have a roll coming up where the Hubble zoomed in on the Omega star cluster. Now, this is a cluster of stars. We call them a globule cluster. In our Milky Way galaxy, about, they think, 10 million stars in the Omega cluster. And the Hubble zoomed in, zoomed in, zoomed in. And you see your new tax dollars at work there because we got a $125 million camera put on the Hubble. And in a moment, you're going to see it switch to color. And when it switches to color, you'll see the new camera and all the colors of the stars. And just these are blazing suns. We have 10 million blazing suns. You know, our sun is just kind of an average star, nothing really special about our sun. It's just kind of an average star of 100 billion, 200 billion in the Milky Way galaxy. Look at the beauty and the color of those stars. Is that not incredible? Now, here they go. This is how their motion will be over the next 10,000 years as they're moving through space. Each one of those are doing, you know, like 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 miles an hour. They're so far away, you can't appreciate actually the speed, but we see our God is an awesome God, and that's the title of this segment. And what an awesome God we have and control all of this. What is man? You know, what is man that he's mindful of us as we see the beauties of the universe and stars without number. The Bible says wonders without number. And so coming up, you're going to be able to see how our sun is moving. Like all those stars are moving, our sun is moving at a rate of about 45,000 miles every hour. And here you see it go pulling the planets with it. There they are, all planets going around. That one at the top would be Pluto, which of course they say is not a planet anymore. The one on the farthest out on the right, on the left actually, it takes Pluto 10,600, it's doing 10,600 miles an hour. It takes 247 years for Pluto to go around the sun. And in other words, our Earth goes around 247 years, 247 times by the time Pluto gets around once. And God's got this all under control. Now, there's a motion that can't be illustrated here on this clip because, as I was telling you, our Jupiter moves our sun 500,000 miles. Jupiter and Saturn together make it move almost 1,000,000 miles, probably around 900,000 miles off center. And all of the planets are connected by gravity to the sun. So if we could add one more motion to that, it would be incredible because everything is tied to gravity. All the planets are tied to gravity. And so as the sun moves, so do we. Now, Jupiter goes around every 10 years. So on a blackboard, if you could, depending on where you are in space, okay, so here's the sun or a star. But if you're looking at our sun from space and Jupiter's going around like this, you would see our sun going up and down. If Jupiter's going across in front of the sun, it would be pulling the sun towards us and away from us, and you wouldn't sense that motion. We could detect that with the Doppler shift, actually moving that light to and away from us. They can actually sense that. But think about this. If you're looking at our sun from space in a distance, and Jupiter, the planets are going around this way, depending on where you are in space, you're going to see our sun, you're going to be a sine wave. You're going to see a sine wave as over a 10-year period. It takes Jupiter 10 years to move the sun up 250,000 miles and then back to center and then down 250,000 miles every 10 years. But then Saturn is 29 years. So now as, let's say that they're both rising on the same side, you go up a quarter of a million miles, but Saturn's going to pull this sine wave up, you know, it's going to be a half a million miles, but that's going to be a 30-year. So on a blackboard, you draw Jupiter, and then you draw this big one for Saturn, but then we've got Mercury. Mercury goes around every 88 days. So now on this sine wave, this motion, if you're with me, you'll see the sun being moved another couple hundred miles by Mercury. Every 88 days, you have another sine wave superimposed on that sine wave. And then you got Venus. Every 257 days, you got Venus moving at about 500 miles. Then you got Earth moves at 300 miles off center. And so you've got all these planets. I've read that they think our sun has probably 35 different motions. God's got it all under control. What a control. You know, you saw the circles of, the motion of our sun, in those circles. There's no mathematician on Earth that can give you a formula for the center of three. When you have three bodies of different masses, it can't be done. Look up Wikipedia, three-body problem. Since Isaac Newton, nobody has been able to give you a formula for the center of rotation of three bodies that are different size. Three-body problem. Now, I'm told by a professor from the University of Oklahoma that we work on it. The more we work, the closer we get, but nobody has ever been able to write an exact formula. He says we can simulate it on a computer, but nobody can write an exact formula for the center of rotation of three bodies that are different masses. And I sat in his lecture, and I began to get choked up, a lump in my throat, because I've been showing audiences this motion. You know, we have 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and they're all moving. And God's got it under control, and we can't give you a formula for three. Yes, our God is an awesome God. And so we were reading that scripture from we read this one from Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. It says, to whom will you liken me? God asks a question, who are you going to compare me with? And who shall be my equal, says the Holy One. There is no equal to God. And he asks us, lift up your eyes on high. There's the first command to buy a telescope, folks. The Bible says, lift up your eyes on high. God asks us to look. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things. He's the one who brings them out. He brings the host out by number. Yes, we saw the Omega Cluster, 10 million stars. Our galaxy, depending on which book you read, maybe 100 billion, 200 billion. Some books might even say 300 billion stars. We can't really count the stars. It's pretty much a guess. When they measure the stars, as we've talked in our other previous programs, I think they do very well on measuring distances, but you can get the series and we'll talk and see the evidence of that. So, who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by their names. Yes, he knows the sparrow that falls, he knows the hairs on your head. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Yes, even we've talked about these exploding stars, these supernovas. We have stars, and their best is that estimate that these biggest stars burn up their fuel like Betelgeuse, a billion miles in diameter. Betelgeuse in Orion, that shoulder star in Orion, may have already exploded into a supernova. It will take us between 600 and 700 years to find out, because it takes that long for that light to get here. So it may have already exploded. But it's a billion miles in diameter. It's a very good candidate for supernova eruption because it is so big. And our theory is that these stars, as they burn up their fuel, like a balloon, they get to a point they can't support the shell, so to speak, and then outward goes this gas. We see an exploding star. There's always a center star. In other words, these stars cast off an outer shell, which becomes a supernova, but there's always a star in the center, a small star, some sort of a dense star. Supernova explosion has a star remaining in the center, always some sort of a small star remaining. And the Bible says that not one is missing. So even though we see stars explode, we still see a remnant there. And you can see in many of these pictures, like the Omega, would be the Helix Nebula, you can see the solar wind is still going out and causing streamers looks the Omega looks like a bunch of comets, actually, created by the solar wind. Going on in Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We're certainly seeing that in this series, aren't we? The wisdom of man, you know. They think they know how these stars formed. And this book, Adams to Einstein, says, this whole universe started with the Big Bang, and the Big Bang in the very core of the Big Bang, the little tiny, tiny thing, as small as a millionth of a millionth of a millionth, the size of the smallest atom. And it may have been a million, 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 million degrees. And that's how everything got here, you know, that's the best the best they have. And they try to mentally gymnastics get a universe without a God. And they do that by saying, you know, this one book, Adams to Einstein, Dr. Pakani, and he says that, you know, we have all this energy in the universe, sun putting out, you know, like it's fusing 620 metric tons of hydrogen every second. And so we have this tremendous energy in the universe, 100 billion stars in our galaxy and 100 billion galaxies. That's tremendous energy, but we also have tremendous negative potential gravitational energy. So they balance out. So therefore, and Stephen Hawking agrees with this, the universe can make itself, he says, or create itself, or create it out of nothing. And you go like, give me a break, okay? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. I have, in the next graphic, we have a picture of a galaxy coming up. And the fact that we were talking about how far Jupiter moves our sun. So, you know, the planet, all the planets are being held by the sun. When I look at a galaxy, like the one coming up now, I'm wondering, what is it in the center of a galaxy that holds it all together? In the background, there's a galaxy there. So we have 100 billion stars, 100 billion stars in the galaxy. Something's holding them all together. And if the sun wiggles and wobbles that much when the planets go around, what would happen to the center of the galaxy? And when you realize, when you see our sun and you see the tiny little, we got the big sun, we got the tiny little Earth, and the planets are moving the sun, what would be in the center of the galaxy? Well, they claim it's a black hole. And you remember in one of our programs we quoted from a magazine article that said, people who study black holes are cosmic magicians. They need to coax a great deal of meaning out of precious little information. I don't see, in other words, something's got to be pretty massive in the center of the galaxy. If you've got, you know, nine planets moving the sun, you know, and I mean, it's like really big, 1,000 Earths would fit in the sun, 1,300 Jupiters would fit in the sun, and yet Jupiter moves at 500,000 miles. What would be, logically, if you think this through, what would be in the center of a galaxy that could hold 100 billion stars as they're in orbit? And I don't think black holes are the answer, but I think the answer is in Colossians. It's 1 verse 16, 17, where it says, in him all things hold together. And another scripture I love along this line of Psalm 103, verse 17, it says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning or end, on those that fear him and his righteousness to the children of men. And Romans 11, 13 says, oh, the depths of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. The heavens blow us away. They blow me away. And I've been talking about these for 25 years, you know. I think we started at 3ABN, our first series, Christian Concerns, in 1995 or 94. And you'd think it would get old because I'm out almost every week talking about this, but I'm still blown away. I have to fall and weep at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the depths of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor? Romans 11:13. As we move on to some graphic, we've got some beautiful pictures of some of the galaxies I intended to share with you, and I may be getting behind on bringing those up. But I think the next one we have is actually an edge-on galaxy. And you know, the galaxies, we see them as round, but when we see them sideways, they're very long and stretched out. There would be, that galaxy doesn't have a name. It's NGC 4565, one of my favorite galaxies in the spring of the year, in the constellation up by Virgo, in the realm of the galaxies. You see a bulge in the center where we have stars, you know, right in the center of the galaxy. And we've got another galaxy coming up. And to illustrate the size here, you see an arrow at the top and an arrow at the bottom. If you were living at the bottom of this galaxy and you decide to take a vacation, travel across the galaxy, and you got to the other side of the galaxy, decided to make a phone call, and you dialed up your phone to call home, and you're actually radio waves from your cell phone are traveling 186,000 miles every second, it's going to take you 100,000 years to get the phone to ring. At 186,000 miles every second, the speed of light, is still going to take you 100,000 to 200,000 on some bigger galaxies to get the phone to ring. If your mama says hello, it's going to take 200,000 years to hear the hello. How big is God? We've got another galaxy coming up, and that is the Tadpole Galaxy, a beautiful galaxy that appears to be pulling in stars from another galaxy, and it kind of looks like a tadpole. It's got a long tail to that galaxy. And the next slide we have, I believe, is the Saturn. We talked about the rings that are 170,000 miles across, but very, very, very thin. You can really appreciate how thin those rings are here. You see the shadows of the sun causes there on those rings. And we have one more graphic coming up. And this one is an artist's conception. Now, we've discovered a couple thousand planets out there. And so you see in the magazines these artist's conceptions. We've discovered this beautiful planet with rings. It might have rings. It might have water. It might have life. We've discovered a planet. The artists go to work describing what we have seen. The next graphic, I want to show you what we actually discover. On the screen, if you look over on the right side, you'll see a large box. And that shows you the motion of this star for 2 years, 2002 to 2004 to 2006. But right above that is a tiny little box. That's the actual image of a planet. You see, the problem that we have is we look at a star and we've got this incredible brightness to deal with, and the planets have no light. They only reflect light from the star. And they're so small, like our Earth a million times smaller than our sun. You could put a million in the sun. And so trying to see planets is really, really difficult. In fact, this is only a few that we've actually imaged. That is an image of the planet. You can see how it's moved, you know, over 2 years. And typically we discover planets when they go in front of a star and they dim. And they can tell some about the stars, the planet, as they pass through the starlight. They can look at the spectral lines and tell some of the elements that are present there. But I just think it was kind of fun because we see all these pictures. Oh, we discovered a planet and it could look like this. But actually, it helps us to understand how difficult it is to actually image something like that. One reference here that I thought was good, it says that all the glories of God in the heavens and everything lovely in our earth is to give us a correct knowledge of the character of the giver. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. We have another graphic coming up of the Whirlpool Galaxy. The Whirlpool is located right by the handle of the Big Dipper, very, very close to the end of the handle of the Big Dipper. And it's quite interesting because it has a little companion galaxy with it and gravitationally tied together. In fact, you'll see the arms of the Whirlpool that you would expect to wrap tightly around the galaxy. You'll see them actually attached to the little galaxy on the left there. And in fact, because they're rotating, we tend to think that the arms that you see is stretched out on the right side to kind of balance the stars on the left side. But what's interesting, Whirlpool Galaxy is 37 million light years away. And if you go to the center of the Whirlpool, you'll see that there is a cross in the center. And that's our next image, a cross in the center of the Whirlpool Galaxy. It's called Einstein's Cross. And then our last graphic in this series is Laminin. And in your body is a cell, the rebar of your body, the cell adhesion molecule. There is a molecule in your body called laminin. It is in the shape of a cross. And if we look at Colossians 1:17, by him all things are held together. Laminin is a protein molecule that holds your body together. Yes, Christ on the cross is the one who saved us, the one who, in this illustration, God apparently has put these cells, millions of cells in your body, laminin, which is basically the cell adhesion molecule that holds you together. Well, it's just exciting to share the heavens. Our time fast slipping away, but it's an amazing God that we worship. And it just blows me away. The more I learn about the heavens, the more I learn about the genetic code and the DNA and the RNA and all of that, it just speaks of an incredible creator. And he invites us to get to know him. When Jesus comes, he says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." We want to be among that group. Thank you for watching Heavens Declare.